Hello, angels. It is me, Willow. I am here quickly logging into Soundgasm so I can check how many parts we've done. Okay, so this is the sixth part. And I was going to do that without recording, but I figured, you know, why not put in some sexy keyboard ASMR? Anyway. This is the sixth part of my reading of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy from the book Inferno. We are starting on Canto 14. And if you have not heard the first five parts of this, I strongly suggest that you go back and you listen to them, because it will make no fucking sense if you haven't heard it already. This is a really, really difficult thing to follow. And honestly, if you have heard it and you're listening to me now, I fully suggest that you get your book out if you have an access to a copy. I suggest you get your book out and you read along with me, because it will be significantly easier than just hearing me say it. That being said, if you haven't, you know, I can't really stop you. I'm hoping that you're here because you want to hear the story, but there's a chance some of you are just here because you want to listen to me talk, which confuses me, but I am incredibly flattered. So this is the part of the audio where I ask you very politely to be polite to me. I'm going to trip over my words. I'm going to stumble through these prose. There are words in this that I definitely cannot pronounce. A lot of them are locations or names. And this is not written in modern sentence structure, because it was, you know, it's really fucking old and originally written in Latin. So I'm just going to make a mess of it. And if you're looking for an audiobook style quality, then I suggest you Google it. I'm sure there's some really sexy, deep-voiced man that has read this and does so beautifully and fluidly. And if you're looking for an audiobook, then I suggest you listen to him. This is going to be more like a friend reading to you. And that's where I'm at. I am nice and cozy in bed. I have to yawn. I'm cozy in bed. I have my glasses on. I just cleaned my glasses. I have something to drink. And I have my mechanical keyboard in bed. So I need to make some arrangements here so I can stretch my legs out if I get uncomfortable. Anyway, I think I've said everything that I need to say. Go back and listen to those old audios. They can be found in the media channel of my Discord, where they'll be pinned. They can also be found on Twitter if you just scroll back through all of my shitposting, and they are at the bottom of my audio index on Reddit, which I need to update because this last one was put up really late. They are private Soundgasm clips, so you can only get them through the link. You can't click on my Soundgasm profile and find all the audios, so I suggest you use the audio index if you're catching up, because they are all there. I'm going to go in after I record this and update it with 5 and 6, because I know 5's not in there yet, but we'll see. It will be by the time you hear this. Anyway, we are starting with Canto 14, and the blurb underneath of it says, "The sand waste and the rain of fire, the violent against God. Capaneus, the statue of time and the four infernal rivers." Okay. Buckle up, buttercup. "Because the charity of my native place constrained me, I gathered the scattered leaves and gave them back to him, who now was hoarse. Then came we to the confine where departed the second round is from the third, and where a horrible form of justice is beheld. Clearly to manifest these novel things, I say that we arrive upon a plain which from its bed rejecteth every plant. The dolorous forest is a garland to it all around, but as the sad mote to that, there close upon the edge we stayed our feet. The soil was of an arid and thick sand, not of another fashion made than that which by the feet of Cato once was pressed. Vengeance of God, oh, how much oughtest thou by each one to be dreaded, who doth read that which was manifest unto mine eyes. Of naked souls beheld I many herds, who all were weeping very miserably, and over them seemed set a law diverse. Supine upon the ground some folks were lying, and some were sitting all drawn up together, and others went about continually. those who were going round were far the more, and those were less who lay down to their torment, but had their tongues more loosened to lamentation. O'er the sand waste, with a gradual fall, were raining down dilated flakes of fire, as of the snow an alp without a wind. As Alexander, in those torrid parts of India, beheld upon his host flames fall unbroken till they reached the ground, whence he provided with his phalanxes to trample down the soil, because the vapor better extinguished was while it was single. Thus was descending the eternal heat, whereby the sand was set on fire, like tinder beneath the steel, for doubling of the dole. Without repose forever was the dance of miserable hands, now here, now there, shaking away from off them the fresh gleeds. Master, began I, thou who overcomest all things except the demons dire, that issued against us at the entrance of the gate. Who is that mighty one who seems to heed not the fire, and lieth towering and disdainful, so that the rain seems not to ripen him? And he himself, who had become aware that I was questioning my guide about him, cried, Such as I was living, am I dead? If Jove should weary out his smith, from whom he seized in anger the sharp thunderbolt, wherewithin upon the last day I was smitten, and if he wearied out by turns in the others in Montebello at Swarthy Forge, vociferating? Sure. Help, good Vulcan, help. Even as he did there at the fight of Felgra, and shot his bolts at me with all his might, he would not have thereby a joyous vengeance. Then did my leader speak with such a great force that I had never heard him speak so loud. Oh, Capinus? Sure. In that is not extinguished. Thine arrogance thou punished art the more. Not any torment, saving thine own rage, would be unto the fury pain complete. Then he turned around to me with better lip, saying, One of the seven kings was he who Thebes besieged and held, and seems to hold God in disdain. A little seems to prize him, but, as I said to him, his own despites are for his breast the fittest ornaments. Now follow me, and mind thou do not place as yet thy feet upon the burning sand, but always keep them close unto the wood. Speaking no word, we came to where the gushes forth from the wood a little rivulet, whose redness makes my hair stand still on end. As from the Bulichemi springs the brooklet, the sinful woman laid her share among them, so downward through the sand it went its way. The bottom of it, and both sloping banks, were made of stone, and the margins at the side, whence I perceived that there the passage was. In all the rest which I have shown to thee since we have entered in within the gate, whose threshold unto no one is denied, nothing has been discovered by thine eyes so notable as is the present river, which all the little flames above it quenches. Those words were of my leader, whence I prayed him that he would give me largeness of the food, for which he had given me largeness of desire. In the mid-sea there sits a wasted land, he said thereafterward, whose name is Crete, under whose king the world of old was chased. There's a mountain there that once was glad with waters and with leaves, which is called Ida. Now 'tis deserted as a thing worn out. Rhea once chose it for her faithful cradle of her own son, and to conceal him better whenever he cried, she there had clamors made. A grand old man stands on the mount erect, who holds his shoulders down, turned towards Demeter, and he looks at Rome as if it were his mirror. His head is fashioned of refined gold, and of pure silver are his arms and breast. Then he is brass as far down as the fork. From that point downward, all is chosen iron, save that right foot is of kiln-baked clay. and more he stands on that than the other. Each part, except the gold, is by a fissure, a sunder cleft that dripping is with tears, which gathered together perforate that cavern. From rock to rock they fall into this valley, Archeron, Styx, and Phlegethon they form, then downward go along this narrow sluice. Unto that point where is no more descending, they form Cocteus. What that pool may be, thou shalt behold, so here 'tis not narrated. And I to him, if so that present runnel doth take its rise from the way of our world, why only on this verge appears it to us? And he to me, thou knowest the places round, and notwithstanding thou hast journeyed far, still to the left descending to the bottom. Thou hast not yet through all the circle turned, therefore if something new appear to us, it should not bring amazement to thy face. And again, I, Master, where shall be found? Leth and Phlegethon, for of one thou art silent, and sayest the other of this rain has made. And in all thy questions truly thou dost please me, replied he, but the boiling of the red water might well solve one of them thou makest. Thou shalt see Leth, but outside this moat, there where the soul repairs the lave themselves, when sin represented of all has been removed, when sin repented of has been removed. Then said he, it is time now to abandon the wood. Take heed that thou come after me. Away the margins make that are not burning, and over them all vapors are extinguished. I need a drink. My throat was like, Willow, what are you doing in the middle of that? Also, my laptop sounds like it's trying to take off, which is starting to piss me off, because it's literally not doing anything right now. I needed to chill. Okay. I just had to change the page, I guess. Anyway, it just, like, gets loud for no fucking reason sometimes. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm bitching about my computer. Oh. My Tylenol PM. All right. We're on to Canto 15. And the little blurb under it just has two parts. It says The Violent Against Nature and Brunetto Latini. Now bears us, unmoored, one of the hard margins, and so the brooklet's mist overshadows it. From fire it saves the water in the dikes. Even as the Flemings twixt Cadsands and Bruges, fearing the flood that towards them hurls itself. Their bulwarks built to put the sea to flight. And the Paduans along the Brenta to guard their villas and their villages. Or ever Sharonata? Sure. Feel the heat. In such similitude had those been made. I'll bet not so lofty nor so thick. Whoever he may be, the master made them. Now, where we were from the forest so remote, I could not have discovered where it was, even if backwards I had turned thyself. When we, a company of souls encountered, who came beside the dike, and everyone gazed at us, as at evening we are wont to eye each other under a new moon, and so towards us sharpened they their brows, as an old tailor at the needle's eye. Thus scrutinized by such a family, by someone I was recognized, who seized my garment's hem and cried out, "What a marvel!" And I, when he stretched forth his arm to me, on his baked aspect fastened so mine eyes, that he scorched countenance prevented not his recognition by my intellect, and bowing down my face unto his own, I made reply, "Are you here, Sir Brunetto?" And he, "May it not displease thee, O my son, if a brief space with thee, Brunetto Latini, backward return and let the trail go on." I said to him, "With all my power I ask it, and if you wish me to sit down with you, I will, if he please, for I go with him. Oh, son, he said, whatever of this hurt a moment stops lies then 100 years, nor fans himself when smiteth him from the fire. Therefore I go on. I at the skirts will come, and afterward I will rejoin my band, which goes lamenting its eternal doom. I did not dare to go down from the road, level to walk with him, but my head bowed. I held one who goeth reverently. And he began, what fortune or what fate before the last day leadeth thee down here? And who is that showeth thee the way? Up there above us, in the life serene, I answered him, I lost me in a valley, where ever yet my age had been completed. But yestermorn I turned my back upon it. This one appeared to me, returning thither, and homeward leadeth me along the road. And he to me, if thou star do follow, thou canst not fail thee of a glorious port, if I well judged in thee life beautiful. And if I had not died so prematurely, seeing heaven thus benign unto thee, I would have given thee comfort in the work. But that ungrateful and malignant people, which of old time whom fools descended, and smack still to the mountain and the granite, will make itself for thy gods, for thy good deeds, thy foe. And it is right, for among crabbed sorbs, it ill benefits the sweet fig to bear fruit. Old rumor in the world proclaims them blind. A people avaricious, envious, proud. Take heed that of their customs thou do cleanse thee. Thy fortune so much honor doth reserve thee. One party and the other shall be hungry for thee, but far from goat shall be the grass. The litter let the beasts of Fasol make of themselves, nor let them touch the plant. If any still upon their dunghill rise, and which may yet revive the consecrated seed of those Romans who remained there when the nest of such a great malice it became. If my entreaty wholly were fulfilled, replied I to him, not yet would you be in banishment from human nature placed, for in my mind is fixed and touches now my heart the dear and good paternal image of you, when in the world from hour to hour you taught me how a man becomes eternal. And how much I am grateful, while I live, behooves that in my language be discerned. What you narrate of my career I write, and keep it to be glossed with other texts by a lady who can do it if I reach her. This much will I have manifested to you, provided that my conscience does not chide me, for whatsoever fortune I am ready. Such handsel is not new unto mine ears. Therefore let fortune turn her wheel around as it may please her, and churl as mattock. My master thereupon, on his right cheek, did backwards turn himself, and looked at me. Then said, He listeneth well who noteth it, nor speaking less on that account I go with Sir Brunetto, and ask where his most known and eminent companions. And he to me, to know of some as well, of others, it were laudable to be silent, for short would be the time for so much speech. Know them in sum, that all of them were clerks, and men of letters great, and of great fame, in the world tainted with self-same sin. Precision goes yonder with that wretched crowd, and Francis in a corso, and thou hadst seen there if thou hadst had a hankering for such scurf. That one, by who the servant of the servants from Arno was transferred to Beclagon, where he has left his sin-excited nerves. More would I say, but coming and discoursing can no longer. For that I behold new smoke uprising yonder from the sand, a people comes with whom I may not be, commended unto thee be my tesoro, in which I still live, and no more ask. Then he turned around, and seemed to be one of those who at Verona run for the green mantle across the plain, and seemed to be among them. the one who wins and not the one who loses. I think I'm going to call it there. I think we're just going to go, we're going to go two tonight. I feel it. I feel that one. Anyway, thank you for listening, angels. I had a great time reading this. It actually brings me a lot of joy to get to do this every night. So, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this. And as always, stay awesome, possum. Have a great one.